The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:50pm with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gareth Topham in the studio. Meetings at Aintree and Wincanton domestically. There's also a couple of Irish meetings as well, Galway and Wexford. So four meetings to look forward to. And joining me in the studio now to look ahead to some of the action is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Hello, Mark. I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you very much. We'll also hear from Declan O'Donoghue in a while. He's going to give us his best bets over in Ireland. But right now, Stevie boy, what's been going on in the world of Stephen Powell?
It's been a pretty quiet week, really. I was at Newmarket on Wednesday, which was quite a nice card. There's only six races, five of which were 2-year-olds. So I'm sure we saw some good animals there. And been in William Hill Towers a couple of days as well. So pretty standard fare. No complaints.
Good. Good weekend of racing as well, Saturday.
Yeah.
Spectacular racing on Saturday. And
this is the real transitional day, the Saturday, I think, where you've got some high quality. I know last week was good because you had Cheltenham and Ascot, but obviously Ascot got the bigger focus being champions today, and deservedly so. But this week, I think it's not far off a level footing because Doncaster, apart from the Racing Post Trophy, is an okay card. It's not outstanding, but it's good, apart from the big race, which was great. But, you know, Aintree's got Grade 2, Chepstow's got a Grade 2 and a Grade 3, a couple of Group 3s at Newbury, so it really is a bit for everyone. And as I say, I think the real transitional day because after this week... for me, the flat is, you know, it's done.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, it would finish with Doncaster on this Saturday, not go on for another 2 weeks, but that's just a personal view.
And two jumpers to look forward to on Sunday as well.
Yes.
Good meetings as well.
Two good courses. Two very good courses. One that's obviously, you know, for me, underused in Aintree. But the racing is always high quality, so I suppose less is more in that case. And Wincanton, they always put on good prize money. They're always supported by big trainers because of where they're located, and it's a good card there as well.
Yes. So let's look at them. Let's look at the racing. You've picked out three races, two from Aintree and one at Wincanton. So we'll start in the 205 at Aintree, which is a Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle Series qualifier. It's over the extended 3 miles. And should we start here with Burton Port, who... I had trouble getting to the racecourse in the past, but managed to get a few runs under his belt last year, and most of them were pretty good as well.
Yeah, his form is top quality, isn't it? Over fences. I mean, he was second here behind Follow the Plan at Aintree in the I think what was then the bowl. May still be the bowl. And obviously, Follow the Plan was 50-1 that day. But before that, Burton Port finished fourth in the Gold Cup behind Synchronised, only just touched off behind Long Run in the Denman Chase at Newbury. So very good, solid chasing form. He's left Nicky Henderson, now gone to John Drew O'Neill with AP booked to ride. And this is his first start, obviously, over hurdles for quite a long time. But to be fair, his hurdles form wasn't that bad either when he was running over hurdles. He's obviously rated 150, so, you know, he's got a good level. But whether he can win first time out over hurdles after such a long break, I'm sort of questionable because I don't think it's about Aintree on Sunday. It's about something else further on, isn't it? So
yeah.
I think he'll probably run well, and they'll be hopeful that if he displays all of his old ability, but whether he will, whether he'll win is open to question, I think.
Yeah. I suppose you could say similar about Lovechen, being campaigned mainly over fences in recent years and back over hurdles. If he were to produce his best, he'd be entitled to get involved.
His career best performance came over this course and distance when he won the Grade 1 Sefton Novices Hurdle a couple of seasons ago.
Yep.
They went chasing with him, that didn't pan out, and then the back end of last season they reverted back to hurdles, last seen being stuffed by Rev De Civilla and Oscar Whiskey in the Cleve Hurdle in January. But he's come down the weights a little bit as well as a result of those disappointing runs last season. He's down at 145, still quite high in terms of what he's probably achieved over hurdles, but more manageable than what he'd been racing off previously, both in terms of the quality of this race and his opponents and the handicap mark as well. And Alan King's flying, and I actually think Lovechen will run quite a good race. He's on the shortlist for this contest.
Okay, who else is on your shortlist then, Stephen? That's the top two.
Govan is not really instilling much confidence in me these days. He ran all right at Chepstow last time out, but he was beaten 9 lengths by Hidden Identity in a race that I think was inferior to this one. Eli Brown, he won this race 12 months ago, and then he went to Warwick and won there as well in a per attempts qualifier. Trained by Charlie Longston, who's going great guns. The young jockey who rides, Charlie Deutsch, takes £10 off. And that puts him on a very similar mark to what he won this race off 12 months ago with that £10 claim factored in.
Yep.
And obviously goes well first time out, because he won this race first time out last year. And I think it will be, personally, I think, between him and Lovechen. Alpha Victor has won a couple of nice races last year, one over at Haydock, and beat one or two rivals, including Eli Brown that day, but was last seen refusing at Doncaster 265 days ago. So I probably want to see him run just to make sure that he hasn't sort of lost any marbles. Orsippus is in and out, well beaten at Haydock by Battle Group when we last saw him, and Marlin Bay has been running through the summer, and you tend to find that once the summer form comes up against this autumn, the proper national hunt campaign, it isn't good enough. So it's between Eli Brown and Lovechen,
and I'm going to twist your arm into giving me one of the two.
I will go for Lovechen. His career best performance came at this track, and I think that the way it's down in class, the opposition have all got question marks, either aren't any good or have got, as I say, got question marks. Burton Port, for example, I think he's ripe for a good performance tomorrow.
Okay.
On Sunday.
Yes. The 240 at Aintree is the next race that we're going to look at. This is the Weatherby's Hamilton Insurance Handicap Chase for the John Parrott Memorial Trophy. Over 2 miles for this one, 8 of them in the lineup. Which ones have caught your eye here, Steve?
Well, this is quite a tricky little affair, this one, actually. It's a very tight race. Obviously, Eastlake immediately jumps out for John Drew O'Neill and AP McCoy, going great guns at the moment. That combination, obviously, highlighted by AP's five-timer at Carlisle the other day, I think three of which were for John Joe.
Yeah.
And this horse still looks open to a little bit of improvement. He was only third of four when last seen at Ayr behind New Lease Collonge, but he wasn't beaten that far in that four-runner race, which is quite a good race, and seemed to get better as the season went on, and he's open to more improvement. There's not many others you can really say that about. Great Oak went over fences, been running over hurdles, was well stuffed in a maze novice hurdle at Bangor last time. Anne Turgey's very in and out, well beaten at Cheltenham over hurdles. Ballybriggan's interesting, hasn't been with Donald McCain all that long, just last season, and he's very lightly raced over fences as well, down at the foot of the Wades here. Won at Sedgefield when last seen, does need to improve on what he's shown over fences so far, but based on the best of his hurdles form, if he can bowl along in front, he might be pretty hard to peg back. But the problem with that is that Stagecoach Pearl is a front runner as well, and he ran an absolute blinder 11 days ago at Weatherby, fought off all challengers down the straight, only to be collared near the line by Lucky Landing. And then Kings Grey, who was well beaten at Worcester when last seen in May, but before that won okay. And he's a solid and consistent horse, and I could see him probably getting into the frame. Eastlake, as I say, open to improvement. Stagecoach Pearl, his form is hit and miss, really. I mean, that was a good run at Weatherby last time, but judging on his previous form figures, he's not guaranteed to repeat that. And Ballybriggan off a lightweight again. He's lightly raced over fences. So Eastlake and Ballybriggan, the two. And obviously, Eastlake's probably going to be favourite, so I'll probably sign with Ballybriggan, but it is very tight, but closer than the previous race between the two, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
That is a hard one, Mark.
It is tricky. And the 255, then, we're going to Wincanton for this one. This is the Desert Orchid Handicap Chase for the Desert Orchid Silver Cup. It's one of the Sunday 5k bonus races as well, so a nice prize pot on offer, and it's over the 3 mile and 3.5 furlong trip. And shall we start with standing ovation right down at the bottom of the waist there? Comes here in good form.
He does come here in good form. He was a winner two starts ago and then came back and won here at Wincanton last time. He readily won that novice's handicap chase by a length and a half. He's bang on 10 stone at the bottom as well. I mean, he's actually a little bit out of the weights, but you know, not significant enough to make a difference, I don't think. You know, the pipes obviously fairly highly off of me. He was really well back when he won at Exeter. But those races, significantly easier than what he's up against here. Not only has he got to go further, he's got some really good, solid, hardened stayers to go up against. And it's one of those where young, improving, unexposed, but can that be carried forward sufficiently to win a race of this nature? I don't personally think it can.
Okay.
I think he'll find this hard. The horse who I've sort of really... you know, grew a bit of a soft spot for last year was the Clyde Rover, who was given two great rides to win at the back end of last season at Exeter. Ended up winning, I think, was the Devon Marathon, I think he won at Exeter when we last saw the horse 194 days ago. Has won first time out before as well, but I just don't think this trip will probably be sufficient enough for her. Bucks Bond, I mean, working from the bottom up here, but I do think it'll be come from the bottom half. Bucks Bond is going to be the selection. Obviously, he's related to Big Bucks through the family. He was leading when he fell in a race here at Wincanton back in May. But Paul Nicholls has been quite nice about him and sort of positive. He hasn't had that many chances over fences either, but he's had sufficient enough to say to me that I think he can win a race like this. Where standing ovation, I'm still not sure about. Providing he's somebody that is jumping out, which is only, you know, one for all. Every horse is entitled to one mistake. Paul Nicholls has hit the ground running with his horses this sort of last couple of weeks. Particularly his chasers are doing really well, and I think Bucks Bond will take a fair bit of beating towards the top end. Any Currency won the race last time, but his form tailed off badly after that. Seven Woods is another one who's lightly raced, just touched off at Wetherby and last seen, but has a similar profile to standing ovation and Bucks Bond. And of the others, there's not a great deal jumping out to me, to be honest. Swinkham Rock is a horse that I liked last year. Was just beaten by Richard Sundance at Exeter, but being off for 355 days, and again, might just find a couple too good on its first run after a long break. So I'm going to go for Bucks Bond. I like the Clyde Rover, very admirable horse, but think it might be better over slightly further in a bit of time. And standing ovation, unknown, but... you know, unknown enough for me to look elsewhere.
Okay. Bucks Bond, then. Just might be a ridiculous question. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But Big Bucks, obviously related to Big Bucks, who's far better over hurdles than over fences.
Well, he's far better, but he hasn't had the chances to prove how good he was over fences. He would have won the Hennessy if he hadn't have unseated at the last. And he absolutely slaughtered a good field at Aintree in a 3-mile, 1-furlong novices chase at their Grand National meeting as well, before he then fell in the Hennessy. And if he hadn't have fallen in the Hennessy unseated, then he'd never have gone back over hurdles, because he'd have won the Hennessy and he might have won three Gold Cups since then. So I think that he showed... Well, he put it this way, he's better over hurdles than ever fences on what we know, black and white, but he didn't have the chance to show where Bucks Bond has.
Okay.
And even though Big Bucks' form over fences is inferior to that over hurdles, it's still better than what Bucks Bond has shown so far anyway, so he got a bit of improvement, hopefully.
I was just wondering if, you know, being from the same family, you might
think I know what you mean, I know what you mean. I know where you're coming from. I just don't agree.
It's all about opinions.
It is.
Okay, let's have a summary of your opinions then, Stephen, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, in the 205 at Aintree, the Per Thames Network hurdle, it's going to be Love Chen back at the scene of his career best performance 18 months ago. In the 240 at Aintree, the Wetherby's Hamilton Insurance Handicap Chase, just going to side with Ballybriggan, but it is close, and I think Eastlake will go very close there as well. And in the Desert Orchid Handicap Chase at Wincanton at 255, Bucks Bond for Paul Nicholls and Ryan Martin will hopefully win that.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell then on Sunday's racing. We can now go to the Irish Sun's Declan O'Donoghue and get his best bets from Ireland.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Hi, it's Declan O'Donoghue of the Irish Sun here for William Hill Radio, looking at today's racing at Wexford and Galway. Well, we start off at Wexford in the 250, and a somewhat unusual runner here, number 4, Carriganog. This is a hurdler trained by Aidan O'Brien. Yes, he was his first winner over sticks in about 10 years when he won at Clonmel, and has since been bought by J.P. McManus. Now, don't get carried away. This is no Istabrak by any means, but he's a very, very smart horse. He should certainly win this race with a bit to spare. That's number 4, Carriganog, in the 250 at Wexford. Next race there is the 320. Now, some old hands here and some horses you'd have doubts about, frankly, with all their reputations. But the one we're going for is very progressive. Number 5, Carrigmillie, locally trained. And the big news is that Barry Geraghty is aboard, and that's always a help in these situations. Now, a few of these will be well-known, and indeed, Double Seven has done nothing wrong. He's won the Midlands National, he's won the Kerry National, everything bar the Eurovision, really. But he's had a lot of racing. This is 2 weeks since his last run, and I just think he's vulnerable today. Sweeney Tunes ran very well early on this year and then lost his way a bit, I thought, after the Irish Grand National, but he just might need the race, and Lagenbank has gone off the boil completely and won't like the ground. I don't mean it's all negative, then. Carrigmillie is quite good in her own right. She's won 2 of her last 3, trained, as I say, locally by Michael Cullen. Big chance, nice prize too. Number 5, Carrigmillie in the 320 at Wexford. Straight away then we switch to Galway and on there to the 335, and the one to be on here is number 2, Shrapnel. This horse, he's a decent horse, well bred. Gordon Elliott, he's certainly the most consistent of these. He's taken to fences pretty nicely, likes the track, which is more than can be said for number 3, 6 Stone Ned, who ran very well the last day, but as I said, doesn't really like this track and won't like the ground. So 2, Shrapnel, a confident choice in the 335. Then the last race of the day is the 440 in Galway, and here we're going for number 4, Couleur France. This horse trained by Noel Mead, Nina Carby aboard here. Disappointed a bit at Downpatrick. They were let down there. A lot of money went astray, but I think the up and down track didn't suit, and the ground was probably faster than ideal. No such problems today. Very confidently expected to go in. Number 4, Couleur France in the 440 at Galway. The last race of the day here in Ireland. So our selections are 250 at Wexford, number 4, Carriganog. Staying at Wexford for the next race, at 320, number 5, Carrigmillie. At Galway then on the Western Seaboard, 335, number 2, Shrapnel. And the last race of the day, the 440, number 4, Couleur France. This is Declan O'Donoghue of the Irish Sun for William Hill Radio.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Declan O'Donoghue and Stephen Powell on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:50pm. Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Gareth Topham will be live in the studio. It's Aintree and Wincanton domestically, and a couple of Irish meetings, Galway and Wexford. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.